Hey, thanks for listening, and I want to make sure you know about Up First. You can start your day with it tomorrow. Up First is the morning news podcast from NPR. When news moves fast, Up First is the quick morning update on what happened and what you need to start the day. Wake up with Up First tomorrow morning on the NPR One app and also wherever you listen to podcasts.
Welcome to Pop Culture Happy Hour. I'm Linda Holmes. Awards season loves a coming-of-age story, and one of the ones you can expect to make a splash this year is Lady Bird, written and directed by established indie actress Greta Gerwig. Its star, Saoirse Ronan, is already a two-time Academy Award nominee at 23, and she'll be a strong contender this year, too. Ronan plays Lady Bird, who explains that Lady Bird is indeed her given name in that she gave it to herself. She's a high school senior in 2002, and while she goes to a Sacramento Catholic high school, she dreams of an escape from her town and her parents, particularly her overprotective and highly critical mother, played by Laurie Metcalf.
I want to go where culture is, like
how
New
in the
York,
world did I raise such a
or at least
snob.
Connecticut or New Hampshire,
really,
where writers live in the
get
woods.
Get into those schools anyway.
Mom!
Over the course of her senior year, Lady Bird confronts questions about friendship and sex and how to reconcile the sacrifices her mother makes just to afford private school with their antagonistic relationship and how unloved she often feels. When we come back, we're talking about Greta Gerwig's directorial debut, Lady Bird.
Support for NPR and the following message come from Little Passports. Every month, kids can explore a new country when packages arrive in the mail filled with activities, souvenirs, maps, stickers, and more. Or try Science Expeditions, which delivers exciting hands-on experiments and STEM activities every month. Little Passports has subscriptions and gifts for kids of all ages. Find special offers for our listeners at littlepassports.com/popculture.
Welcome back to Pop Culture Happy Hour. Here with me to talk about Lady Bird is NPR Music's Stephen Thompson. Hi, Stephen.
Hello, Linda.
And also with us from Slate's Represent podcast is Aisha Harris. Hi, Aisha.
Hi, Linda.
And also with us, a writer whose work has appeared at NPR and also at Bitch Magazine and elsewhere, Katie Presley. Hi, Katie.
Howdy.
We were talking a little bit before this about the fact that I am not a contemporary of Lady Bird, but Katie, you roughly are.
I am, yeah. Just a year off.
Are you, Aisha?
I'm a couple years off. I graduated in 05, so I would have overlapped with when Lady Bird was in high school.
Yeah. And Aisha, how did this strike you as a coming-of-age story of a young lady?
Oh, man. It was so realistic to me in so many ways. I, too, was also a theater geek in high school. And the audition scene especially just brought back so many memories of people singing, of teenagers singing songs that were way too old for them at the time, but they were still using to sing. And also just the mother-daughter relationship hit home so hard for me, just the way in which the banter and the passive-aggressiveness on both sides between the mother and the daughter, but then also like their moments of coming together and bonding over a dress were just felt so much like my relationship with my mother that I'd never really seen in a way before. And so I went into it with kind of not really any expectations, and I came out like, wow, a whole chunk of this is like part of my adolescence.
Yeah, it is really an interesting relationship that she has with her mom, because as we talked about in the intro, you know, a lot of times they spend a lot of time fighting. Mm-hmm. Katie Presley, yes?
Absolutely. They kind of run the gamut of ways that young women can fight with their mothers. There's screaming and throwing things and throwing selves out of moving vehicles and kind of through the teeth anger and just sort of really nasty, like completely level voices, but really nasty cutting things. They both know how to cut each other deeply, but it also struck me as very realistic. And I am now a step-parent, and so the way I was telling Stephen after watching this, I don't think I can watch a movie about parenting now and not just, like, be an open wound afterward. Everything is like, am I like that? Oh, God.
Well, it's funny because you keep seeing these elements of this movie where you can tell that they both want a good relationship with each other. You can tell that they both in some way want to have a better relationship, but they are so mean to each other. And it's both of them. Like, there are times when you think it's the daughter, it's Lady Bird. She's so unappreciative and mean to her mom. But there are other times when you can see her, like, trying for at least, like, a little bit of connection with her mom.
Right.
And all she gets is just these very, like, dismissive, like, unnecessarily nasty comments. It really is both of them. And I think that's one of the things that the film does well, is that it doesn't really suggest that this is either a rotten kid with a long-suffering parent or a wonderful kid with a lousy mom who has to learn to be nice. It's both of them.
Agree entirely.
Yeah. How about you, Stephen? How did it strike you?
This movie struck me as an absolute treasure. I loved this movie. Every minute of it. I cried through the entire second half of it.
Oh, so much crying. It's so distracting to watch movies with Stephen.
And part of what is so lovely about it is that you feel both generations' perspectives. As you said, Linda, like, the closest thing to a villain in this movie, I mean, I would say almost the closest thing to a villain in this movie is adolescence. Like, I first interpreted it as a movie about a teenager learning how not to be an a-hole. But at the same time, it is also a movie about parental sacrifice. But the fact that parental sacrifice is coming with all sorts of emotions and actions and behaviors in parents that are not purely noble. As much as I think Laurie Metcalf is amazing in this movie, as much as I think Saoirse Ronan is fantastic, for me, the MVP, the emotional MVP of this movie, and maybe just because I felt the strongest connection as a dad and also as someone with a dad, was to Tracy Letts as her father, Larry. I loved that performance so much, and it's so subtle. He's not, I don't think, going to get the awards consideration that the two leads got. Partly, he reminded me of my dad. There is a scene in which he ties a necktie, and we will leave it at that, that just shattered me. I loved it so much, and I'm almost having trouble articulating my thoughts on this movie because I loved it so much.
Yeah. I want to talk about another aspect of it, though, which is, and perhaps this will mean more to Katie and Aisha than it does to you, Thompson.
You want to talk about Dave Matthews Band Crash Into Me? I'm so glad you asked.
There is such a heavy, interesting, thoughtful family story here, but there is also, I think, such a blessedly not that complicated story about her discovering how just disappointing teenage boys can often feel when you're a teenage girl.
Delete teenage, and I totally agree.
Because there are essentially two guys in this movie that she's interested in, and it's not a single through line. It's not a through line of, like, she meets these two guys and she has to decide which one she likes or something like that. There's a story with one. There's a story with the other one. The one played by Lucas Hedges is a guy she meets through being a theater geek, because I think that's one of the best aspects of the character, as Aisha mentioned, is that she's a theater kid. And then the other one is this... You can tell that this is the guy that I wasted all my time on, because I reacted so powerfully to him. Like, you first see him, like, hanging out, reading a copy of Howard Zinn's People's History of the United States.
And he's halfway through. He's, like, really reading it. Sitting on the back of a BMW talking about how much I'm just not really into money.
And I don't believe in participating.
I want to barter.
Economy.
Yeah.
Oh my God. All right. Talk to me about the the teenage love affairs, Aisha.
I think one of the great things about the relationship she has, I could relate in many ways to her character falling in love with Danny, played by Lucas Hedges. There's something we reveal. I won't give too much of a spoiler. There's something we learn about him later on. But I think that the way that even after that devastating moment when this reveal basically splits them up, and later on when he comes back into her life, I just love the parallel that we see, or the dichotomy that we see. At first, it's devastating. She's angry. She's mad. And then later on, she's just she's willing to let him back into her life as a friend, and I just really loved that aspect of it. Like, as a teenager, things can be really, really devastating in the moment, but then you can slowly come around and evolve into a new relationship with the same people.
And then you have that performance by Timothée Chalamet, who is also in Call Me By Your Name right now with Armie Hammer, in which he's like a very appealing kid. And in this, he's just so... I love the fact that they just do not make an effort to suggest that, like, underneath it all, he's really a good dude.
Right.
Which doesn't mean he won't one day be a good dude, but, like, that at this point, there's just nothing there for her. And it is such a good and real portrayal of somebody who is just a hole into which you shovel your energy.
Right.
Never to see it again.
Yep. Yep.
Because... he's so good at making it seem like, you know, it's going to be a very intense experience being involved with him and everything. And then it sort of isn't.
Completely isn't. She reads intensity and experiences intensity into this relationship, and he chastises her for it. He's sort of like, why is this special to you?
Mm-hmm.
The highest praise I could give this movie is that it wasn't nice to these boys, but it actually was very loving to them. And I appreciated that they got the same loving light of Gerwig's script and direction as everybody else did. So the second boyfriend is a dingbat, but he also is, you just sort of roll your eyes at him. He's not villainous. He doesn't devastate her. He teaches her what might be a very important lesson, which is like, why are you taking this so seriously? Actually, like, you haven't had very many experiences yet, so... it feels intense because it's half of your romantic history, but you're going to have more.
Yeah, I was also very grateful for how much time they spent in the film on her friendships, because one of the things I got out of this story was your high school romances very well may wind up being not very significant.
Mm-hmm.
But if you are smart about your high school friendships may wind up being very intense and significant in a way that your romances might not be.
It absolutely plants the seeds of a lesson which it takes some people until adulthood or never to figure out, which is watching the jumps from the quote-unquote intimacy she experiences with these boys to the real intimacy that she experiences with her old best friend.
Who I love in this movie so much, Beanie Feldstein.
Yes.
Love.
It was Jonah Hill's sister.
Yes, she is.
What?
Well, and the thing is, when you hear it, then when you look at her, you're like, And I think she's wonderful in this. It could so easily be kind of a thankless, just the faithful best friend, the Sharon Chersky, if that reference means anything to you, the old best friend before you try your hand at becoming cool. But I feel like she's so funny and fun, and she has kind of her own stuff going on, and oh my gosh, I loved that so much. What else did you think about this, Aisha, that we haven't talked about?
Well, one thing that I really appreciated was the inclusion of class, a discussion around class and around money and the lack of it. I mean, one of the main sort of sources of ire that Lady Bird and her mother share, and where they often poke each other at when they're arguing, has to do with money. Like, some of it is very subtle. There's like a moment where she comes out of the bathroom and she has two towels on, one on her body and one over her hair, and her mother's like, do you really need two towels? Like, you have to let me know because I have to take out the laundry and blah blah blah. And just like those moments of, this is a family. Usually in these types of movies, you have all the romantic issues, you have the friendship issues, you have the parental issues. It's usually like rich people, and so like money is never an issue.
Yeah.
But I really like the way in which like almost the whole driving narrative of their relationship has to do with money. And in the end, especially when she tells, you know, she's hiding the fact that she applied to schools on the East Coast because those are going to be more expensive, and she hides it from her mother. And I mean, like we were talking about earlier, the relationship with her father, and when he comes into the room and says, like, you know, we can't tell your mother, but I'll help you, like, fill out the financial aid, everything. I was just like, oh, this is, it just like got me there. I was just like, I like that we're seeing that, you know, not every white family in these indie, like, quirky indie movies has to be rich and not worry about money. I loved that was an aspect of it.
Yeah, and I think there's class, like you're talking about, they have conversations about money and about the fact that, you know, the father's job situation is fluid at best. But I also like the fact that they get into kind of what it means to be a kid without a lot of money at a school where all the other kids feel like they have money. Mm-hmm. It's the social effects on her of being around people with a lot of money and how she feels kind of driven to try to suggest that her background is something other than what it is. And you can feel her mother's kind of resentment of that, but also her deep hurt. She feels like Lady Bird is suggesting that what they do for her is not good enough.
Yeah.
The mother doesn't do exactly what you expect her to do.
No.
There's a moment when she comes upon Lady Bird and a bunch of her friends hanging out in the kitchen.
Yeah.
And you sort of expect in that moment that it's going to go a different way than it actually goes. And in some ways, it's so much more emotionally satisfying because it's still, it's not simple, but it's not the way you think they're going to play it. And I think by the same token, I don't want to give away very much about this ending except to say I spent a lot of this movie thinking that we were headed for a scene that seemed inevitable, which was a kind of all at once resolution of a lot of the issues that the film was about. And you don't really get that. And there's a very particular kind of turn in the story where you feel like you know what's about to happen. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't quite go that way because that's what the movie is. The movie is about kind of the imperfect way that this young woman and her mother are trying to kind of navigate their way through. And you don't do it by having the one big reconciliation scene.
Everything
you
do on it the by table,
you do it by everybody wiggling a little bit at a time, because if you lose your opportunity, sometimes you have to wait for a new one. And I appreciated that a lot.
I mean, there's one moment earlier in the movie where I think it's Danny says to Lady Bird, he's like, "Your mom's scary," and she gets very defensive, and she's like, "No, she's not. She just has a really big heart." And that moment really stuck out to me just because, you know, she's said before, like, "I think my mom hates me." She's constantly arguing with her mom. But I really like that, like, when someone else who's not her family member, like, you know, suggests that she's not a great person, she immediately becomes defensive and is like, no. Like, it gave another layer of that understanding that they have, that relationship that they have that is not always antagonistic. She really does love her mother.
Yeah. I'm so glad you pointed that out. That really, those moments, it happens two or three times that Lady Bird defends her mother to an outsider. And those mattered much more to me than any scene where anybody cried.
Yeah. I'm sorry, what were you going to say?
I just can't stress enough how much this movie can resonate to someone as a coming-of-age story. Like Katie and Aisha, you're talking about how this is capturing an era in your lives, kind of in these approximate years. As much as it is a powerful coming-of-age story that people can relate to as people who used to be young, it is also an incredibly powerful story from the perspective of the parents. And you can watch this movie from the perspective of the parents. Mm-hmm. If you are closer to that in your life, you can have that experience. And I love the fact that you can experience this movie from several different perspectives, even as it tells a fairly straightforward story that's not even necessarily that much of a story, so much as just the experiences of a year in these people's lives. Yeah. I just love this movie so much.
She's sort of progressing and growing up by having a bunch of different experiences.
Right.
And I always feel like one of the things that distinguishes a good movie of this type, meaning a movie with a lot of people talking to each other, a good movie of this type from a bad one, is that in a good one, you have small characters. They have some little bit of business that makes them more interesting than just to stand there and serve a purpose for the central character.
Right.
So, for example, Lady Bird's brother and his girlfriend live in their house. Mm-hmm. Her brother's name is Miguel.
It appears that he's probably adopted, I suppose. Mm-hmm. But there's not a big explanation of that, or, you know, he just is her brother. Mm-hmm. And so because there are lots of ways that you wind up with brothers, they don't spend a lot of time explaining it. And then his girlfriend has a very short discussion with Lady Bird that suggests a whole story that isn't about Lady Bird. It isn't about this family. It's another whole story that causes them to intersect in this way. And it's interesting because the girlfriend is given the idea of an inner self, that she exists not just to kind of click a button in Lady Bird's story, even though that's sort of what happens. It's that she's a person.
That speaks directly to what I think the thesis of the movie is, and certainly what my takeaway was. Like, imagine the hand clap emoji between each of these words. Attention is love. What you pay attention to is what you love, and paying attention to something is loving it. And there's a scene where that comes out. Lady Bird is introduced to that idea by a nun who has read her...
Oh, I love the nun thing.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Who has read her college essay and said, oh, you must... So obvious how much you love Sacramento. And Lady Bird and we, the audience, are like, huh?
Because she's been complaining about it the whole movie.
What she concedes is, I guess I pay attention. And the nun says, don't you think those are the same thing? And what it seems like we're all talking about here with the silly boyfriends and with the family members that don't have lots of lines, but their lines are so weighted, and with the, you can watch the entire movie from the perspective of the parents and have a very full viewing experience, or of course you could drop directly into Lady Bird's shoes, is because Gerwig pays attention to them. She loves them. She holds their hands. She walks them through. Everybody who crosses the screen has the loving hand grasp of the script and the director. And it's an argument for seeing this movie, and also an argument for why representation on a larger scale matters. Let us pay attention to things. Pay attention to things that we might not know so that we may love them. Turn the camera on something, pay attention to it, and we will learn to love it.
Yeah. Wow. That's well said, Katie Pressley. I will say about Greta Gerwig, I think Greta Gerwig is somebody who, because she's been in a lot of the kind of what people think of as precious indie movies, it's easy, I think, to think of her as sort of a precious person. And this movie, for whatever else it is, is not a precious or twee or cutesy movie at all. It's deeply, deeply felt, although it's also very funny in a lot of places. It's very funny, but it's deeply, deeply felt. And I am so happy for her after sort of being a muse for indie filmmakers. You know what I mean?
Do we have another 30 minutes?
That she hates that term, by the way.
But I mean, that's what I'm saying. Like, being perceived that way.
Yeah.
That she's been able to make this thing of her own that is so wonderful and meaningful and being received so well. So thumbs up to all involved for Lady Bird. That brings us to the end of our show. You can follow our guest Aisha Harris at Crafting My Style. You can follow our guest Katie Pressley at Love Is Maroon. Katie Pressley. On Friday, we will have a new episode. We'll be talking about Black-ish. Thank you so much for listening. Thanks to you guys both for being here with me and Stephen.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And if you have a second and you're so inclined, please give us a review on Apple Podcasts. It will help more folks to find the show. We will see you all on Friday.